Community Radio for Totness.
From 8 till 9, every weekday morning.
It's the Full Totness Breakfast.
On SoundArt Radio 102.5 FM.
Welcome to the Full Totness Breakfast on SoundArt Radio 102.5 FM, and it's a new week. Here we are broadcasting live. There's a buzz. That's got rid of that. Onto that. I'm onto that. I can hear that. Yes. Good morning. It's the 6th of September. And still banging on with this program, goodness me. It's going to be a bright and sunny day today, but before I mention all that, just to say that we've got Georgina Allen is joining us on the show today this morning, and we'll be talking about all things town-wise, probably a bit of planning thrown in, and there's a competition that's being judged today, I believe, so we'll find out more about that. So, yes, good to have Georgina back on the show. And she has chosen the music for today, and she's gone for a 60s vibe, although this isn't the 60s, this is very much the 70s, and it reminds me of my job I had in Bathampton. I was working in a large restaurant, and this song was permanently on, and I'm sure because of the nature of the song, it's one that's unforgettable, so when it comes on, it will place you somewhere in history of your own life. This is Black Betty and Ram Jam.
Thank you.
Betty, I blame you, Georgina.
Why?
What?
What were you thinking of choosing that?
I love that song.
That offence to eardrums everywhere.
It'll get people up in the morning, won't it?
Macho guitaring, yes.
Oh, so good. The video, I was watching the video last night when they're all playing in their nan's garden, you know, in tight acrylic, you know, stripy acrylic in their nan's garden with their next door neighbours sitting on motorbikes. So girls not quite sure what they're doing. They're sort of bopping about and falling over. It's hilarious.
It's that thing about our rear view mirror on the 70s is not quite so shiny and glossy, is it?
No, fair enough. But at the time, I do remember dancing to that, but I was obviously stuck in the countryside somewhere, so it wasn't like clubbing. It was probably in a field.
Absolutely. That's not a clubbing song, is it? I mean, that is the sort of song it's interesting you say you dance to it. It's the sort of song that I can imagine being at a disco and someone insists on putting it on and they're a friend of the DJ and everybody's completely lost because it's one of those songs you can't dance to.
You can. You do air guitar.
You can't. You can do what? What can you do?
Air guitar.
Yeah.
And pop. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah. And you would have had the hair for it.
I was a young farmer at the time. Sorry, can I miss
you would
that?
Have had the hair for it.
I did have the hair for it. You're absolutely right. Yeah. I had a lot of hair at that stage.
So there you were in Slapton, head banging.
I was in Kent by that stage.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I was probably in Dover. I don't know where I was at that stage. But anyway, wherever I was in a field, bopping about with my big hair. Yeah.
Okay.
You see, that's my memory. That's a good memory,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's a youth. It's, you know, the livelihood of youth.
Yes.
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 And talking of... is it youth? What is this thing that you're being judgmental about today?
What? Why would I be judgmental about youth?
No. But you're judging something today. Are you not judging something?
Oh God! Something? Sorry. No. Totally missed that reference. So I often am judgmental, and I was thinking, what am I actually being asked to be judgmental?
You went all defensive there.
Right, in a lovely way. So we're judging a competition that was set up by the Heritage Trust, the St Mary's Heritage Trust, which I'm a trustee, around the map.
Oh, yeah.
So people being asked to submit stories. It was a bit similar to the, you know, when we did that art competition for the map.
That came up with some great stuff.
Oh, there was some fantastic, I've still got them all. We were going to put on an exhibition of all of those. And then the pandemic hit, so we couldn't. But I would still love to do that because there's some amazing pictures there. But it's also amazingly good stories that we've been reading through. And we are going to sit around the table at the Guildhall this morning, hopefully, and judge them.
Great.
So me and Mop and Matt Harvey, I think, is going to be the other judge.
The lovely Matt and Harvey and the lovely Mop, yeah.
The lovely, I know, nobody ever says Matt Harvey. He's always the lovely Matt Harvey.
He is always the lovely Matt Harvey, yeah. That is his official title. I think he's changed his name by deed poll.
Matt, lovely Harvey.
Yeah.
Yes, and then we'll find some winners. I'm a bit of a pathetic judge. I want everybody to win.
Yeah.
I used to be a teacher and I'm that sort, you know. It's all about the effort you put in.
Everybody gets a prize.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally you just think they've gone above and beyond, you know, and then it's quite nice to sort of, you know, acknowledge that. But usually it's just very difficult. But the stories I've read have been great. I mean, it's been really entertaining and enjoyable reading them because of the sort of, you know, it's all about Totnes. It's all about sort of inspired by the map, hopefully.
Yeah.
So if people have talked about, you know, either different sort of pretending to be at different points in time, sort of on a pilgrimage to Totnes, or how they feel about Totnes now, or I don't know, it's been really interesting. And I don't know who anybody is who sent them in because their names are blacked out for the judges. So I'm slightly trying to guess. I don't know, it's fascinating watching other people's perception of a place that you know quite well.
So what sort of stories have been turning up?
There's been a few about Brutus surviving.
The who's surviving, sorry?
Brutus.
Brutus, okay, yeah.
Which is great. So then people have been sort of imagining what Totnes was like then, and, you know, sort of putting a bit of flesh to the, you know, to the bones of the story.
Yeah.
Which has been great. And there's been quite a lot of time travel, which I personally love. So there's been a couple of stories sort of about people sort of standing on the map in the church and then falling through to another time, or, you know, sort of coming out of the church and it's a sort of medieval pageantry going past, which links the map. I don't know, people have interpreted it in all sorts of different ways. There's some very good ones about Bob the Boss. She would like, obviously. The Bob Adventures.
Okay, yeah.
There's a marvelous one on the Bridgetown Safari, how that started, linking it to ancient times as if it was a myth, as if there's always been a sort of Bridgetown Safari.
Oh, fantastic. I don't know,
lots of lovely kids' ones as well.
This sounds like it ought to go in a book.
I know. I think maybe we should try. I wanted to do that for the pictures, but again, you know, because of the pandemic, it all just got a bit too difficult. But I think we should try.
Mm. And so have you picked a winner yourself? I'm not asking for you to tell me.
I haven't. I want to talk about it with the others. I've got sort of three or four, I think, are the ones I enjoy the most. But it can't just be the ones I enjoy the most, obviously, or the best written. It's got to be the ones that sort of, you know, either link to the map most or most sort of redolent of the sort of the, the guidelines that we sort of gave them.
Yeah.
So sort of followed the brief the best. I suppose we had to judge that. I'm less enthusiastic about following the brief, obviously, but... I'll have to see what the others say. But anyway, I've got a bundle, I think, at best. Yeah.
And have you got different categories, or is it just first, second, and third, or something like that? How's that going to work?
It's just age categories.
Okay. I think it's best use of commas or anything like that.
I would love to do that. I can't even tell you how much I used to love having a red pen and, you know, making slightly sharky comments at the end.
Did he ever write "See Me"?
Yes.
You did.
But because I was trying to be a trendy, cool teacher, I would do C like a sea. You know, like a...
would you?
National ocean.
You're trying to get down with the kids at the same time.
But they were kids. I was trying so hard to get down with the kids. I know. I was slightly sad. I was like a sort of born-again vicar teacher a bit.
Okay.
first,
what age groups are there?
So there's under 11, and then 11 to 17, and then adult.
Okay, cool.
It'll all be publicized when we get a winner. We were going to have Nicholas Evans of The Horse Whisperer.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't live too far away to present the prizes, but he's been very ill, so I don't think he can do it anymore. But it's slightly watching this space about who's going to be the prize giver. But I think also, I'm not 100% sure, but hopefully the prize giving will be at the bookshop.
Which one?
Our lovely new bookshop.
We've got three bookshops.
We did the new one in town.
Ah, yeah.
You know, halfway up 4th Street to be that one.
It's by the East Gate. That's a clue to its name.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you for that. I seem to have forgotten a lot of things this morning. I'm not my best. My traumatic leaks obviously had an effect. Yes, thank you. The East Gate Bookshop will be the host of the prize giving ceremony.
Cool. Yep. And when's that going to happen?
I don't know. Things were a bit thrown by the illness of Nicholas Evans, but we will find the time. Okay. I haven't been running this, if I'm sounding a bit dopey about it. I've just been a judge on it. But yeah, we'll publicise all the details about when and where and how when it happens.
Yeah, and yeah, you could have had what's her face that wrote those historical novels. she lives in Devon, doesn't she?
Which one?
I've forgotten her name now. The one that's...
Oh, Hilary Mantel.
Hilary Mantel, that's her. Yes. Because
she's to move to Ireland,
She's moving to Ireland. She's had enough of England. Yeah. She's quit. England. I'm going. Because she can.
Yeah. Charming. We have to grab her before she goes as a
centre.
She's absolutely an astonishing woman. I've seen her speak live once. She's a sort of one of those people of, there's a very, you know, unassuming air about her. She's very sort of soft and quiet, and she sort of, you don't sort of notice she's come into a room.
All right.
But she's absolutely brilliant when she speaks. She's astonishing.
Oh, wow. So a smart cookie, I guess, writing stuff like she does.
Yeah.
I've never read any of it, though. I must admit, I've never read any. I've watched the TV, but I've never read any. Have you read stuff? Have you read her stuff?
I read the first one. I read Wolf Hall and all that. Like, no, she's incredible because they're unlike most stories. They don't sort of follow the normal story pattern, which is quite difficult when you first start reading them. Because it sort of takes 2 minutes. It's a bit like sort of reading poetry, which doesn't have any paragraphs aspect to it. And it's a bit annoying when you first start reading it because it's not what you're used to.
But you get into
it. But after what, absolutely pulls you in.
Okay, I give it a go. I think I'm going to be in need of something new. So I'm going to give Hilary Mantel a try.
Do you know what? I really would recommend her. She's an astonishing, they're effortless stories, if you know what I mean. You're effortlessly brought back to King Henry VIII's court. And they are incredibly well researched. They're so well researched, you don't realise they're researched. It's that type of history.
Ah, cool.
You're very much in there. Yeah.
So what are the prizes? Are there prizes?
Or is it they're not really prizes. There are. I'm not entirely sure what the prizes are. Sorry to sound so daft about the whole thing, but again, I'm the judge. Welcome. But we do have prizes for the winners. Yes, we do.
Cool. Very good. Well, what we'll do is we'll do Hilary Mantel style research on the radio show, and we'll find out these details that are sadly lacking.
I can come back to you with them.
Okay. Well, there's no rush. Well, it's not going to be tomorrow or anything like that, but you're actually going to be in the Guildhall being a judge today. So that sounds nice.
Yes.
That sounds like a nice thing to do.
Oh, doesn't it, Joss? I love doing things like that. I know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Lovely.
Very much.
Good. Yep. Well, let's have a bit of music, shall we? And
yes.
We're staying with is this I think this is 70s as well. This is a bit of Roy Orbison.
Oh, it could be, yes. It probably is. You're right. 60s, 70s vibes, let's say.
Yeah. Okay. Only the Lonely.
Dum, dum, dum. Only the lonely. Forever.
Only the Lonely by Roy Orbison, of course. And having checked out when that came out, it was 1960. So I'm way off with the 70s. I'm a decade out, which, yeah, me being wrong is something that most people are accustomed to. But getting back to near your location, the Churchill thing going on down at where Budgeons stroke co-op stroke what was Summerfield as well at one point. What's going on with that?
Yes, originally, actually, well, semi-originally, to be the boys' correctional facility in Totnes.
Did it? We could do with some more of that. Bit of discipline in this bloody town, this flaky town we live in.
Terrible. Round them all up and stick them in their facility.
Yeah. That's where we should go next.
They do indeed, yes. But instead of that, we've got a facility for the elderly coming. It's about to become quite interesting, Churchill. I went off for 4 days last week, as I was telling you before, and every single thing happened. It was an absolutely disastrous time for me to have gone away, as it turned out. And one of the things I missed was the site visit to the Churchill project, which is happening there.
Is that a town council site visit? Is that the?
It was a Southam site visit, which we sort of, well, I didn't, but another councillor sort of went along with.
Okay.
In a gate crash, slightly. I don't quite know what to say about the whole thing. It's not ideal. I think it's fair to say this new development that's coming there. We wrote the objection that we sent in when it was sort of first. Sort of put forward was very detailed in slight horror, because it was huge and, in my view, pretty hideous. Well, I suppose you can say it doesn't fit in with the rest of the town, it didn't begin with. And it had horrible things, like it was going to be covered with slate effect plastic, basically. Everything was an effect, you know, it was sort of brick effect rubble, you know, it wasn't a lovely building. You didn't sort of feel like, you know, they're taking the time and trouble to really make it look good in that very important area in town. And also, of course, it's turned from being commercial to being a private residential place.
Mm.
You know, and without a backward look. And I was talking to Mayor Benji the other day about it, and he was saying, you know, it was always seen as a very, very important commercial place, because it would take people from the high street, you know, sort of leading people back. It'd be an alternative to people shopping on the high street.
Yeah.
So easier access and things. So actually it was very, very much supposed to be a commercial site, but it's gone and it's going to be...
There isn't much we can do about that now, though, is there?
Well, government's changed laws to the point where we don't really have as much say on anything. I mean, I feel like I've been jumping up and down on the sidelines screaming about this on your show as well as other places.
Yes.
It's been a long, old time now. But things like this are you know, a consequence of government relaxing controls around building. I suppose it will serve a function. I mean, if you can pay, you can go to this residential home. It is very much in the centre of town. So hopefully that will help with people shopping. I still have concerns about, you know, the slope of the hill and the elderly looking at my 90-year-old mum trying to shop in Totnes.
Mm.
You know, and has... She doesn't come to Totnes to shop, actually, and she hasn't since she was sort of 75, because she can't manage the hill.
Mm.
Of course, that's just, you know, one tiny personal experience, but it's not an easy place to shop in. And we are now, you know, being sold as a bit of a sort of retirement destination, which I have concerns about. But anyway, hopefully it will help with that. But it is a huge building. I hope people will sort of be aware of this. We've managed to keep a footpath, so you can still access the car park from the street. You can still do that cut through.
Yeah.
We're losing space, obviously. We're also losing an awful lot of car parking places.
Which there. Is one thing this town desperately needs.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's not ideal. It's not, you know, if we'd asked anybody in town, I suspect they wouldn't have wanted a huge care home there. But we are, I think it is what's happening. It was refused by Southam's council when it was first put forward, because it was even bigger and larger and sort of worse then.
Now, also, I have to give you a bit of credit here, because you actually completely predicted the process that has actually occurred completely on this show to me talking here. You predicted how this would pan out with this development, and it sounds like it's all come to pass.
Yeah, it's all always, it's very predictable, all of these things. It's a sort of absolute developer trick these days, where you come in and you have a build that alarms people. It's too big, it's too obstructive, it doesn't offer anything. And everybody jumps up and down and gets upset and writes in objections. And then they come back saying, oh, we've listened to all your objections and we've thought about this process and we've reacted to your concerns. And then they build something which is just slightly less worse, but which people feel less alarmed about and therefore more accepting of. It's just like a psychological trick. But it's actually what they wanted to build in the first place. And also what people would have jumped up and down about if it was the thing that they would have first produced. So, it is better. To give them credit, they have answered most of the objections to some degree. So the materials used on it are better. They're using hung slate now, which is good. The shape is better. It was very much a sort of the prison block aesthetic when it first started.
I didn't know that that was an actual aesthetic itself, but yeah, go ahead. I love that.
The front is broken up a bit. There's a bit of movement on the front, if you know what I mean. It's not just a solid block. There are balconies and things. And there's some affordable flats now.
Oh.
Because they weren't offering any. But as
affordable
far as
is one of those intangible words, isn't it?
Oh, it's all just tricks and smokes and mirrors planning at the moment. And affordable is just... it is what it is. It's not affordable to people necessarily. It just means it's a smaller place, or it's round the back, or it's part of a scheme. So you have to sign up. It's a bit like Help to Buy, where you have to sign up to a government financial scheme where you're in hock to the government rather than to a mortgage company. They're never great, these schemes, but it hopefully will mean that people can go and live there who wouldn't have been able to if it was just private. But they have to do that. It's the law. You have to offer some affordable. So for them to have sort of done it as if it's a great concession is a bit galling. And also it means, as far as I can tell, I might have to come back and tell you in more detail after the planning meeting at Southampton on Wednesday. But as far as I can tell, there won't be much S106 monies coming through for anything else. So despite the fact that this will be a large burden on our healthcare in town, we're not getting any more money for it. Totnes has been very, very, very badly served by the builds that we have had.
Let's get some ground rules down here with the S106 money. As I understand it, S106 money is legalised bribery for development. And the idea is that a developer has to pay S106 money to the council, the district council or the county council. And that S106 money is then used for community things such as a better road or a hospital or a school. Is that right?
Sort of, yes. I mean, they only rarely go into hospitals occasionally go into roads. They're the biggest problem with them, they're supposed to be, when they first came forward, it would be something that most of us would support, I would think, because it was supposed to be offsetting the impact of a large development. So there's this problem that everybody has of new development sort of leeching off the facilities of an old town or a village.
Yeah.
And it still happens. Look at Dartmouth. It's getting 600 houses or whatever at the top of town.
it is.
All those people in that new build, which actually belongs to Stoke Gabriel. Stoke Gabriel, I think, are getting the council tax from them. So Dartmouth isn't even going to have any more funds coming in.
That old technique, yes. We've got a border that goes next to a desirable property, and therefore we'll build right on that border, and it looks like it belongs to that property, but it's not. It's somebody else's. Yeah, that happened in Bristol as well.
very much that, to be honest, yeah. Very much that. They still, I mean, not to point fingers at Stoke Gable, I don't quite know how it happened. No information about that at all. But yes, it's one of those border developments which you don't want in your village centre, but you have to provide some housing because of government strictures. So you make sure that your build is at the very, very, very edge of your area and abut somewhere else. I don't know if it was all deliberate. I really don't know, but that is what's happened. Mm. So they're sort of leeching off the two supermarkets at the top of Dartmouth, and also all the facilities in town. So all the people who live in Dartmouth are going to suddenly find, you know, an awful lot of new cars on the road and an awful lot of new people using their health facilities. So the hospital, which was in town, is now up right next door to this new build. It's one of the sort of sweeteners to get this development going.
Uh-huh.
But everybody's just been sort of abandoned in town. So if you bought a flat in Dartmouth and you've lived there for years and years and years, suddenly you find, you know, the facilities are moving up the hill to this new development, and you've also been abandoned in town in a sort of what is fast becoming a bit of a museum. A sort of tourist destination rather than a living, breathing town. There is no better way of sucking the life out of the place.
It's absolutely just a tourist destination now, I think. I think that's you know, partially because it's such a beautiful space, but it's also, it's of its time. I mean, the lady of the household is finding another way to meet someone there, for example, because driving into Dartmouth is pretty much impossible.
Yeah. It's very difficult. I mean, in the winter you can. I mean, I pop in happily into Dartmouth in the winter, you know, go shopping Marks and Spencers. But the summer, it's absolutely impossible. Yeah, I totally agree.
You shopping Marks and Spencers?
But anyway, that's not really...
Shock horror probe. Marks and Spencers? Ain't you you're posh, yeah. Aren't you? You're actually, I think you're posh.
I'm so posh. How do you not know that I'm posh? I go to Marks and Spencer's and buy my mum, it's like being the most ridiculous care in the world. They do really nice lentil soup. Mum likes. Occasionally I go in there, and also they do a fantastic selection of smoothies. So yeah, I do go and buy nice things at Marks and Spencer's. It's fairly true. But also you can park there. Not that I was probably supposed to. Actually scrub. You can edit all that out.
Okay, I'll put that. Oh, God, I always have to work so hard on the edit for you.
Shocking thing to say. I love Marks and Spencer's.
We're not a commercial radio station, by the way.
So. No, sorry. anyway, back to Churchill. Sorry, I've got distracted. But yeah, the danger is that when you have somewhere which is successful, it's like the Lonely Planet destination danger, where, you know, you become a victim of your own success. So the moment you are proven to be popular, you get rushed on. And I think that's what's happening with Totnes. This, you know, hopefully this will work, but it's a big development, big, ugly, I dare say, ugly, my own opinion, right in the middle of town, in a very, very prominent position, right up against all these sort of grade one listed monuments, very much the heart of town. You know, and although it wasn't the most gorgeous area with budgeons, I've sort of broken down budgeons with hoarding all around it, but the budgeons shop had a sort of a function for the whole town, and it was a car park.
Yeah.
And it did, you know, it did serve a function. It wasn't too obstreperous, you know, they'd been really careful.
It was low life. Key. You wouldn't know it was there if you very didn't low. Look down that alleyway, but that's going to change a little bit.
Well, it's four stories high in places, this
is
Churchill.
It? Really?
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah.
That's high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blimey.
There's a sort of bulk of it is three story, and then the end is four story. They've literally got away with every inch they possibly could. The trick was to stand at the entrance of the car park and look up, and you should be able to still see, you know, the skyline of the church and the churchyard, actually.
All right,
and some of the little houses at the top.
I see.
But they've kind of, yeah, but
gone
they're sort
an
of
angle.
Like, they're within an inch below the little house skyline. So, you know, if they go, you know, at any sort of, if they try and push their roof up at all, it will really have an effect on that view.
Yeah.
Views are a big thing in planning. It's always the view, you know, the vista, you know, you can't sort of seem to be more important than almost anything else. But, you know, and if you're standing on the high street and look over, you will be able to see it.
Right. Okay.
It's a very large build, and it's full of people, and it's full of people who need healthcare, and it's full of people in need. Although they're saying it's a no car build.
So is it an actual, is this a done deal now? Is that what's going to happen?
Well, I think it probably is, to be quite honest with you. They did, the other clever trick they did was to appeal to the inspectors when they were turned down last time. Mm. They've had an appeal going for nearly a year now. I think it's going to be judged at the end of September. So what they've done is come back with this slightly improved build. It does answer some of the objections that were raised. So it's, most of the objections that were raised, to be fair. So it's an improved build. So South Hams are now in the position of either accepting this improved build or waiting to see what will happen, you know, turning it down for various reasons, which I think they possibly still could, but then wait to see what the inspector says. So the inspector passes the bad old build, the worse old build, will be lumbered with that.
So there is a danger of that because of the new way that the government works. The inspector has an overall say, so they can actually overrule a local council.
Yeah. So the government inspectors have been told, you know, basically build is the name of the game. I'm not sure I'm not sure it's such a given actually for this development. The South Hams were very, very careful. I mean, there's a lot of backup from sort of English Heritage and Highways. There were a lot of people unhappy with this build because of its prominence in a conservation area. You'd have thought they'd have to be incredibly careful in a conservation area. But again, it's, you know, conservation areas are less protected than they were. Mm. But yeah, there is the danger of the government inspector passing it and then we'll have this worse one. Or passing this one and then we'll have this difficult build, but it's slightly less bad. So they know what they're doing, developers. You know, it's all games.
They're clever people, developers. They know their way round stuff. It's their job, isn't it? I think we ought to have a little break for some music. And
righty-ho.
Cat Stevens. Yusuf.
Yes, right.
Stevens.
Yeah,
I love this. The wonderful album, this one. First 12-inch vinyl record I ever bought was this one.
Everything to you. You say you wanna start something new, and it's breaking my heart you're leaving. Maybe I'm grieving, but if you wanna leave, take good care. Hope you have a lot of nice things to wear, but then a lot of nice things turn bad out there. Remember this.
Stephen's Wild World, and yeah, what a brilliant song that is. 1970, so that was 1970, that was. So the town council, what does ACV stand for?
An ACV?
Yeah.
An asset of community value.
Oh, right. And what's that referring to? Is that are we back on the Churchill thing, or was that something else?
An asset of community value. Well, there's been a few that the council's taken out, and a couple that I have taken out in the Save Dartington, actually. Well, I didn't personally. I asked somebody to do it. but they're quite valuable things, assets of community values. They're a sort of protection for an area that is of particular value to a town. So assets community value, we've got one on the market square. So do you remember when we were doing that campaign to save the market?
Certainly do. Yeah.
Yep. You were involved, weren't you?
I was.
So we took out, Robert Vint and me took out an asset community value on the marketplace, the front of the market and past the back, in order to protect it from development, because there was at the time a threat of development on around there, particularly at the back of the market.
And does that last for a certain period of time? Is it sort of like that is this is safe now for a period of time?
No, it's not as good as it should be. What it is it means that the community gets a chance to buy it for themselves when it's put up for sale.
Oh, I see.
So it's not like a sort of town listing. It should be a town listing. We should get a chance to be able to say, you know, hands off that for, you know, perpetuity. Mm. But we can't. We can just say that, you know, if the owners of this particular thing decide to sell it, the community gets a chance to buy it first.
I see.
To raise money. So you get a 6-month window where you raise money, but it doesn't mean that the owners of the place have to sell it to you in the end. They can still sell it to developers. It just means that you get a chance to put your case forward.
Right. Okay.
They have proved very, very useful because they're sort of, and also because it focuses people's minds on the sort of the threat to particular asset of the town. And also, you know, you can sort of highlight sort of ideas about what you can do with it going forward, or, you know, how much it actually means to people. And if you can raise enough money, then the owner of that land should actually sell it to you because you are the community trying to buy something.
Yeah.
So it's one of the very, very, very few arrows left in a community's quiver.
I think that's fine. I think you should have stuck with it and just went go with it. You would have got away with that, I think. But is there an ACV going in at the moment?
There's an ACV going in on to Cavick's Lower Field.
Oh, right.
At the moment. So that was decided over a year ago that the town council was going to do that, just because it's very valuable to the community. It was originally given to the lower school. So what is now the Elmhurst buildings used to be the girls' grammar school. And the Elmhursts, we've discovered the Elmhursts were much more involved actually with Kevics than we originally knew. But they gave the land to the west of the school, so basically Kevics Lower Field, to the school, to the lower school at the time. And we've got a nice letter from the headmistress thanking the Elmhurst, Dorothy Elmhurst, and saying, you know, it's so good to see that we know that we're now protected from development on the west side and that we can had this lovely space for the girls. Girls school then.
The girls.
And then
girls.
And it was very clearly expressed in the letters that we've seen sort of passing backwards and forwards to school that it was intended for the enjoyment of the town, that field.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a community asset. It's a town and community asset as well as a school asset.
Yeah.
So the ACV is for the town, so we can continue to have, you know, an open space there and, you know, hopefully, you know, sort of be able to improve the sports facilities and to be able to ask people in town what they would like to see there and, you know, have stories for the canoe club and potentially a little cafe and, you know, and sort of help Totnes Progressive School out, because I think they've now been banned from the kids walking across that field to the river. I don't know why, it seems a strange move to me, but anyway, it's been obviously used by the community for many, many years. So it'd be a shame to lose it for that. So if we can raise enough money so that Keswick's would get as much money from us as they could possibly get, you know, for the value as a field if they sold it to someone else, then it's a win-win all round, really.
Keswick's
gets
like
their money and the town keeps its field. So that's what we're trying to do. But the ACV is part of that.
Okay. So the ACV, it's gone in. Does that mean it's got to be approved by somebody then?
It has to be approved. Yep. So it has to be approved by Southampton. It's not really just a sort of a choice by Southampton. They don't look at it and make up their own minds according to their own opinion. You know, it has to fulfil a certain criteria. So, for example, Southampton's granted an ACV on the market area, even though it was Southampton who was pushing to get that into the local plan and get it developed. So they did grant an ACV there because it fulfilled, you know, its whatever criteria it was. Yeah. It's sort of things like it has to be used by the community for 5 years, to be proven community use, has to be extensive community use. You know, it's very, very much about the community putting their hands up and saying, we want this place. So in order to get the ACV on Keswick's lower field, we've talked to all the sports clubs who use it and people who use it as access. And there were an incredible number of community groups using the Elmhurst building.
Yeah.
Until it
was shut, obviously, but yeah.
Yeah, until TCDS had their lease taken away, which was about a year and a half ago. So before then, it was used by huge numbers of community groups. So although you can look at that field and that building now and say it's not used, it's because it was closed. It isn't because it wasn't used. It's because the choice was made to close it. So, you know, we've had a lot of letters back saying we would love to be able to use that building again. And, you know, and there's lots of sports groups use the field. So it's great. It's been really interesting sort of seeing all the people sort of come forward and, you know, and they're also their ideas for the future, what they want to see going on there.
Mm.
So it's all about community. It's all about the community.
Yeah, the potential is huge.
Something that's used and also, you know, the potential. Yeah.
It's very, very exactly. exciting that something good can happen there because it, you know, it can be better than it currently is as well, which would be brilliant. So good stuff. Well, more exciting things from the Town Council. Very exciting indeed. Well, thank you, Georgina. It's been lovely having you on the show again this morning.
You're very welcome. Always happy to.
And it's always fun to have you on the programme. And, well, we'll be back tomorrow with the Full Totnes Breakfast. We're going to be speaking to Andrew Price, and we have a song. Me and Bobby McGee, what's the story behind that one? Why did you choose that?
The Janis Joplin one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is my whole youth. All this sort of like, you know, me being misunderstood and nobody knew who I was and long hair and weeping into the books at school kind of a song, this one. I love it. It absolutely sums up my late teenage years, Janis, this one.
Oh, bless. Okay.
Sadly, yep.
Janis Joplin, we'll see you tomorrow. Yep. Bye.
Busted flat in Baton Rouge, waiting for a train, when I was feeling near as faded as my jeans. Bobby thumbed a diesel down just before it rained, then rode us all the way into New Orleans. I pulled my harpoon out of my dirty red bandana. I enough for me. Good enough for me and my Bobby, yeah. From the Kentucky coal mine to the California sun, hey Bobby shared the secrets of my soul. Through all kinds of weather, through everything that we've done, your Bobby baby kept me from the cold world. Good enough for me and my Bobby.